Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. This week, I want to talk to you about a topic that I brought up the other day on my Instagram. And if you saw the post, it was the post where I was holding the two $100 bills. And I was talking about my money-related PTSD. And that's actually a topic that we've talked about a little bit here on the podcast, but not from this angle. So that's what I want to talk about this week, because I put that post up the other day and it got a lot of attention, a lot of likes, a lot of comments, a lot of DM replies, and just people really resonating with the topic of the money-related PTSD, of stashing the $200 under our bed. And I just want to talk about it a little more and go into detail on the money mistakes that we made that I brought up in that post. So if you're not familiar with the post that I'm referring to, I'll link to it in the show notes so you can go check it out. Leave me a comment on it if you haven't already, and just let me know what you think about it. If it resonates with you, if you can relate to it, if it makes you feel not so alone, which was a lot of the comments I got was like, yeah, me too. And, you know, it's always kind of good to just remember that we're not on this crazy journey alone, even though sometimes we feel so isolated from the norm, from, you know, our family, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, you know, just the random people that you see on Instagram or whatever it is. We feel really alienated. We feel like we're the only ones who feel anxious about money, who have this stress, this anxiety around our money that we feel like will never go away. We feel like, you know, maybe we're the only ones that have ever made these really, really stupid mistakes with money. But it's just not true. You know, we're not alone. And there might not be people in your immediate circle that have experienced these things, or maybe there are and they just don't talk about it publicly, or they pretend like it doesn't exist, or whatever it is, you're still not alone. So that's really the main topic, which is, that's kind of always our main topic, isn't it? That we're not really alone in all of this craziness that is life, right? So the story starts with me cleaning and purging our bedroom, which it's something that I do pretty regularly. One of my goals for 2019 was to at least do a seasonal deep clean purge. So at least four times a year, go in and literally go through everything in the house and clean and purge, even if it's not in one setting or, you know, one weekend or one week or whatever, at least to do it regularly throughout the year. So Sunday, I had gotten everything on my to-do list done about halfway through the day. I was in one of those beautiful moments where the kids are actually playing and not bugging you every 5 minutes, not fighting every 5 minutes, not asking for a snack every 5 minutes. And they were just playing so well, and I had nothing else to do. And I was just like, all right, so guess this is the day I'm going to deep clean and purge the bedroom. So that's what I did. And I cleaned everything out from underneath our bed. And, you know, in 750 square feet, you can imagine we use every bit of square footage of storage that we can. So underneath our king size bed that we have somehow squeezed into this bedroom, we have quite a few different plastic storage containers organizing things. Like all my sewing stuff is under the bed in a storage container. Different electronic things that I extra cords and things that I need for work stuff? Is it a separate container? And then there's, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's, you know, off-season clothes. And so one of the storage boxes that's under our bed is a fireproof box. And it's really tiny, not even as big as my laptop probably. And it has like our wills and a couple other things. And up until Sunday, it had $200 in cash in there. And I knew that there was some cash in there. There was actually $202. I didn't take a picture of the $2 bills, okay? I thought that the two $100 bills would look better in an Instagram post. I will be honest. There was $202 in there. And I, you know, got in there and I'm cleaning everything out and I'm like, I think there's still cash in here. I should look. So I opened it. I found the key. I opened it up and I was like, oh yeah, there is still a little bit of cash in here. I should probably just like go ahead and deposit that in the bank and at least be earning a little bit of interest on it. You know, our Ally account, Ally has gone down probably since the last time that I've mentioned it on here. It is currently at 1.9%. But that's still amazing comparatively to most savings accounts. But anyway, I can link to Ally if you're not familiar with Ally. I don't have an affiliate link or anything. It's not a paid promotion or anything. But that's just what we use. And we've been really happy with them for like a year, year and a half, I think now. And they usually stay pretty competitive with their interest rates on their savings accounts. So if you're looking for a good place to have your savings account, I recommend them all the time. Just because I like them, not because I'm paid to say it or anything. But anyway, so I was like, you know, that's $200. And I'm kind of, you know, attempting terribly to do that math in my head. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I could earn some money and this should be in the bank. So I got it out and I stuck it in the envelope with the money that I was going to deposit from my Facebook Marketplace sales from the past week. And I was like, yeah, I need to, you know, go drop this off. And then I started thinking about the significance of that $200 and the fact that at the beginning of our debt-free journey, when we were just doing our starter emergency fund, and we just had $1,000, that was all of our savings, which was a huge deal because when we very, very first started, like if you follow the Dave Ramsey plan, which is we did like a modified version of the Dave Ramsey plan, which I feel like that's what most people do. but the first thing you're supposed to do is have your starter emergency fund. And Dave Ramsey says $1,000. Other people say other things, more, less, whatever. So we thought $1,000 seemed like a ton of money, like an insane amount of money for normal people to have in their savings account. Like what kind of rich people have $1,000 just laying around? That seemed insane to us. So we thought, let's just do $500. That sounds a little more doable. And we were really just anxious to start paying off debt. And so, of course, you know, we know better than experts. So we're going to do our own thing. And we just did $500. And we were so proud of that $500. I mean, it literally gives me goosebumps to think about how proud we were of that $500. That was such a big deal to us. And so we got that. And then one of the catastrophes that I'm going to tell you about in a minute happened. And we had to spend all of that money. And we were back to nothing. And then that's when we kind of realized, okay, 500 isn't enough. So we need 1,000. And so we did the 1,000 and we kept it in cash forever, for up until very, very recently. I honestly can't even remember why we started to use that money. I think we just started to slowly, like we would need $100 or $200 for a large purchase, and it just kind of dwindled. Like after we had a real emergency, like a big emergency fund. Honestly, I can't even remember because so much time has happened. But we had our original $1,000 emergency fund in cash, in our fireproof box, and that's where it was. And we were so proud of it. And we added to it so slowly. I remember like selling things. I remember the biggest thing that I remember, what was really like the first milestone that I feel like that Daniel, my husband, was really, really on board, is he had a little flat bottom boat. And we sold it for like, I think like $300 or $400. I mean, it was a really small boat, and we didn't really use it. It didn't run good anymore. And we sold it for the $300 or $400, whatever it was. And Daniel took that cash and he put it in the envelope that we had been using to build up our emergency fund. And I said, you don't have to do that. And he said, no. I want to do this because we are going to cash flow you a vehicle one day, and I want this money to go towards that. And that was the first moment that I really remember him being like 100% on board. And that just, from then on, we started doing the journey together, you know. And then we got that $1,000. We had it in cash, you know, and then we paid off so much debt, and then we cash flowed my Suburban, and, you know, on and on and on to where we are now, to where we are today with over $38,000 in our savings account. By the time you guys are hearing this, it's going to be payday. This episode is coming out on payday, so it'll be over that. But insane to me. $38,000. And I still get goosebumps when I think about that first $500 that we saved. When I think about that first moment that I remember him being like, no, I'm not wasting this money. It's going to actually go towards our debt-free journey. Like, we're going to actually do this. And it makes me want to cry because I can just remember. I remember exactly where we were standing when he put that money in that envelope. And I knew that This was real. This was really happening. And oh gosh, all of it. So I have this $200, and it made me so sentimental and just, what is the right word? Like reminiscing about all of this. And I thought about the significance of that $200, and to me now, 5 years or so later, $200 is just $200. And then it was everything. You know, then it was power. It was having that $1,000 in cash in our bedroom meant that no one else could get it. Meant that we had money. We had that money, at least. We still had like $500,000 worth of debt, but no matter what, no one could take that $1,000 away from us. And that was when we really started to realize that this wasn't a game. Like, the fact that we owed multiple banks, multiple people, almost $500,000, was literally insane. And how powerful we felt with only $1,000 in cash in our hand. And if you can picture that ratio of how powerful $1,000 made us feel versus how helpless negative $490,000 made us feel, we had a long way to go in between. And I think that that was the time when we really realized, like, this debt is not a joke. We have gotten ourselves into a big hole, and it is time to get out of it. And we realized how powerful that $1,000 in cash made us feel, and we got a little taste of how much in control we felt with that money in our hand, with that money in the fireproof box under our bed. And I don't know if you guys know anything about feng shui, but when we bought our very first house when we were newlyweds, I got very into feng shui because it was our very first house and I just wanted it to be amazing. And I didn't have kids yet, so I had a ton of free time. And so I started researching feng shui. And one of the rules in feng shui is to not have anything under your bed. You're not supposed to store anything at all under your bed, because apparently in feng shui, the energy from all of the items under your bed, basically you're sleeping on top of that energy, right? So you're sleeping on top of trash or clutter or like whatever junk could be under your bed, right? Theoretically. Which really bugs me because I was so good about not keeping stuff under our bed for so long until we had to in this house. Or it was like no storage under the bed or like not own winter coats. So I chose to put things under the bed. Anyway, so I remember when I decided to keep the fireproof box under the bed when we were still in the big 3,000 square foot house and I could have kept it anywhere. I purposely put it underneath of our bed for feng shui reasons, because I wanted to sleep on top of that energy. I don't know if that is too like woo-woo, like too out there for you, but if that speaks to you, like, hey, go with it. And so I purposely did that. That's what kind of weirdo nerd I am. So I wanted to sleep on top of that energy. Apparently it worked. So, I mean, I got myself this far into the journey, right? So that's what I did. And anyway, so having that $1,000 put that power in my hands, right? And it represented for us that no one could take it away. That we could never be frozen out of our bank accounts, that we would never have to roll change to make ends meet with groceries. It represented that we had control of our money, and it meant power for us. And so, yeah, it was a little hard to deposit this money into the bank. And I'm not saying you have to put all of your money into the bank, because that was a couple of the comments and the messages I got was like, I just think that I will kind of always want money. I kind of always want cash, like, at home. The only thing that freaked me out a little bit about having cash, which I think is when we started to actually, like, dip into that and, like, use it for bigger purchases, was when we moved into our rent house and we got renter's insurance and we were talking to our insurance agent. I don't know if this is true for everyone's policy, but we were talking to our agent about our renter's policy. And she was like, yeah, I mean, cash is like not really insurable because there's no way to really prove, oh, I had $1,000, not $200 in this box, you know? And yeah, it is a fireproof box, but like, what if there's other things other than fire that could happen, like a robbery or I don't know, whatever could happen. And so she's like, yeah, cash isn't like really super insurable. So we can only insure whatever it was. And then we were kind of like, maybe we really don't want to keep like $1,000 just laying around. That kind of made us nervous. So I think that was about the turning point that made us start to like kind of dip into it for other things. But anyway, so you know, I just kind of realized like, okay, we could be earning money on this. We could be earning interest on this. And I was like, yeah, we need to do this. But I still, you know, I had that PTSD and I was like, let this money go. Am I okay with that? And I kind of decided like, yeah, like I'm ready. I'm ready to trust myself, to trust the fact that we've come a long way and that we're not the same people that we were 10 years ago. And that we're not going to get frozen out of our bank accounts again. So I want to share with you guys the stories that I shared on this post a little more in detail than I could share because I was already like at the word limit or whatever, characters limit that Instagram put. So I couldn't like go into any more detail. So some of the accounts that I was talking about, some of the examples that I was giving of the reasons why I have money-related PTSD, there were several occasions, and like I said in the post, there's probably more that I can't remember. I know off the top of my head, as soon as I posted, I thought about this time that I went to fill up gas, and Daniel had just left. I literally had taken him to the airport that morning, was on the way home from the airport before we had kids or anything. And I went to fill the truck up with gas on the drive home and our car got declined and I didn't have that much gas. I had enough. I can't even remember what I did. I might have borrowed money from my sister or something. I can't remember. I remember pulling up to the gas pump in this truck. We had a 1500 Silverado. That was our first Silverado that we had. But anyway, in this big truck, and I didn't have any gas money. Yeah. So that was another time that I didn't put on my list. But so some of the other things that have happened, I remember distinctly, June was a baby. We were in the big house. We were in the 3,000 square foot house. And our electric bill was set up on automatic payments by that point, forcefully. Anyone else ever had to have their bills on forcefully on automatic payment? Yeah. We had our electric bill. They made us get on automatic payments because we had not paid enough times. Our electricity had been disconnected enough times. I think it was like two or three times. Or paid so late that one time I called to get it cut back on because it had gotten cut off from not paying it. And they said, well, this is the last time. We're going to have to put you on automatic payments from now on if you want to continue to have service. So I didn't really have a choice. So it was on automatic payment. So fast forward, I don't know, a handful of months later, and it's, you know, it's time for our electric bill to come out, and it comes out automatically, and there wasn't enough money in our bank account. Thankfully, our bank let it come out, and we just paid an overdraft fee for about 3 days, I think it was, and our bank account was just negative. And I remember sitting on the floor of the living room crying. And I remember thinking like, okay, I need to get a babysitting job or find some things to sell, or I need to do something. This being a stay-at-home mom was a bad idea. Like, what am I going to do? I have no way to make any extra money. And I just remember crying and feeling so desperate and so scared. And being in this big, huge house and knowing that we were living way, way beyond our means and not knowing how to fix it. And our bank account sat negative for, I think, like 3 days. And payday rolled around and everything was fine and everything was fixed and we completely didn't learn our lesson, you know. And there were several occasions like that. We got froze out of our bank accounts twice. One time was actually my fault. The other was not. from unpaid sales tax. And you guys know that I was in the auction business before I quit to have Izzy and eventually do what I'm doing now. And anyway, we had to collect sales tax, obviously. And if you don't pay your sales tax, the government will freeze your bank accounts. And there's other kinds of, you know, your IRS, the IRS can do that and all this stuff. But so this was through the state, but they froze our bank accounts because it wasn't incorporated or anything. And my social security numbers are linked to everything. And they locked every single account that my social security number was linked to. And we were completely frozen out of all of our money. The personal money, the business money, everything. And we had no cash. So thankfully then we did still have credit cards. I guess thankfully then. Obviously it would have been better to just have cash or pay our sales tax. But we couldn't like afford to pay the sales tax on time. It was just a vicious circle, a vicious downward angry spiral of life that we were in. And God, I'm not even sure how I functioned with that much stress. Like now that seems insane to me, but that was life. That was so normal for us. And the second time was actually after I quit, actually after I, you know, became a stay-at-home mom. But because it was a family business, I hadn't 100% taken my name off of everything. So it was a family business that I was tangled up in with my grandpa, my mom, and me. We were all three kind of doing this business together. And so everything was kind of tangled up and messy. And, you know, if you've ever been in a family business, you know what I'm talking about. And so even though I was home and not working anymore, my name and social security number were still tied to a lot of things, including the bank accounts. I was still a signer on the bank account. And so they froze all of our accounts, even though I was out of the business. And this was when we had started to, we had very first started our journey. I can't remember if Izzy, it was either when I was pregnant with Izzy or about, or had just had her. It was right around that time we had just started to, not started our debt-free journey, but tried to start paying attention. It was kind of like leading up to it. We were at least like opening our bank accounts and trying a little bit. So it was around there sometime. So the second time wasn't even our fault. And Daniel was pretty upset about that, that my name was still tied to everything, because I don't think that he knew that my name was still on a lot of things. So that was fun. Another reason why we were like, yeah, we could never get froze out of our bank accounts. Obviously, my name got taken off of everything after that. But yeah. Another time which you guys have probably heard me tell this story. It was like our rock bottom moment. It was like our we're done moment was when we maxed out our very last credit card for Daniel to fly home when our second daughter, Izzy, was born. We planned to get pregnant with her. We had had a miscarriage between June and Izzy, and our miscarriage was a surprise pregnancy. But after that being excited we were pregnant and then, you know, losing a baby through a miscarriage, we were like, we want a baby. We want a second baby now. And so we got pregnant with her very, very quickly after, and on purpose. And so we had those couple of months trying to get pregnant, and then we had the whole 9 months of being pregnant. So nearly a year, around a year, and we hadn't saved at all for him to fly home, for her medical bills, for anything. We didn't have any money in savings. So we maxed out our last credit card so he could come home because he was in New York, I believe, at the time and, you know, had to make it all the way to Texas to see his baby be born. That was our rock bottom moment for sure. But that was another reason why we were like, no, if you need to fly home, like, what if it was something really unexpected? I mean, we knew she was going to be born and there are things way more unexpected than a baby being born. And what if that happens again? And now we don't even have any credit cards left because this one's maxed out. That was literally the last thing that we ever charged on a credit card. That was the last thing that we charged on a credit card was that flight. It was definitely a rock bottom moment. Another time, which is what I referenced earlier, that we had like no money to our name was we had to drain our savings. We had just started saving. We had that $500, like I mentioned earlier, and we had to buy Daniel a flight for work, and there was no way around it. It was a last minute, something happened. I can't remember. It was a last minute kind of thing. And we didn't have time to plan for it. We were at least trying to budget and plan for those kind of things then, but it was something really last minute. And we pulled money. We had to pull all of our money from savings that we had worked so hard to save up, completely drained it for him to get this flight. And I remember going home that morning. I dropped him off at the airport. I cried and prayed the entire drive back home, which was, it's like 2.5 hours from Houston. And I remember June was maybe 3 or 4 at the time, just big enough to, you know, realize mama's crying and she's like, what's wrong, mama? And I just told her, you know, I don't even remember what I told her. I remember telling her something and just crying and praying out loud the entire way home. And I was like, God, please just help us. Like, help us change. Like, help us learn our lesson. This is ridiculous. And I didn't know what to do. And I went home and I literally that morning dumped out our change jar. I rolled all of our change. The very next day, I was at the bank turning all the change in to get cash to figure out how to make it work until payday. And we had like a week and a half until payday, I think. And yeah, I made it work because that was literally all of our money. It was all of our savings plus some of our like regular spending money that we were supposed to have. And that was when we were air quotes on a budget. We were supposed to be on a budget. And that was one of those like Murphy things happened and it sucked. Another time was I thought about this actually because we just took a trip to Galveston last month. Galveston is like the closest beach to us on the other side of Houston. And we took a trip when June was a toddler before Izzy was born. She's maybe 2-ish, 3 maybe. And we were, you know, those kind of people that didn't check our bank account back then. And we just kind of hoped for the best. And we spent until our card got declined, which was that was pretty regular for us. And we decided to take a trip down to Galveston. I believe it was Daniel's last couple days at home. And then we were going to drop him off in Houston at the airport on our way back home. We've done that several times. And so that was one of those times we were going to go and spend the night in Galveston and just, you know, spend the day and then the night and sightsee and do whatever and just, you know, live our best life, live life to the fullest. And we were on the trip and we stopped at McDonald's on the way. And for some reason, I think maybe I was making a hotel reservation over the phone or something. And so I must have checked our balances or something like that in the truck. I remember sitting in the truck in the McDonald's parking lot on the phone with Discover Card asking, air quotes, asking, begging Discover to up our limit so we could and afford the vacation, afford the overnight trip, because we didn't have the money to do it. And I decided somewhere between home and Galveston that that was the best time to check our balances. So I had to ask them for them to raise our limit. And I believe that was the last time we got our limit raised, because I asked them another time and they said no. I think that maybe that time that I asked them and they said no was the time that we had to max it out for Daniel to fly home. Because I was like, well, I'm going to buy it anyway. So, yeah. And I remember in the moment feeling like so sick to my stomach, knowing that we were going on an overnight trip that we had no money to do, sitting in a McDonald's parking lot, meaning that we probably put that McDonald's on our Discover cart too, knowing good and well that we couldn't afford a night in a hotel, let alone all the meals out to eat, because we, you know, we didn't meal plan then. We didn't pack a cooler full of lunch meat and bottles of water back then. No. Oh, God, no. We ate out every single meal, I'm sure. Actually, I know for sure because I have a picture of June at a restaurant on that trip that I very, very vividly remember. So we probably had like a $40 lunch that day, the next day or whatever. And I remember feeling like someone had just punched me in the stomach. But I still went on the overnight trip. I still called Discover and asked them. And I feel so stupid looking back on that. I feel like such an idiot. Why did I do? I had no business doing that. We had no business staying at a hotel or going out to eat or even going to McDonald's. Like, forget the $40 Mexican food that we had. What about the probably $15, $20 McDonald's that we had? We didn't even have any business doing that. We didn't even have any business driving any farther than the airport away from home. We didn't have any business even spending that gas money. If you're to the point that you have to call your credit card and beg them to raise your limit so you can go to a hotel, so you can go out to eat, like frivolous things that are not necessary at all. Like that should have been my rock bottom, and it wasn't. It was like a year or so after that, that was my rock bottom. That is insanely pitiful and embarrassing and disgusting. And so from all of those memories, I remember even go back to the frozen out of the bank accounts deal. The first time we got frozen out of our bank accounts because of sales tax and it was my fault. We were out running errands or something, and I can't remember if we went to get food or get gas or something, that we swiped our debit card and it got declined. And Daniel was like, why is our card declined? It hadn't been that long since payday, I think. And he was like, why is our card declined? So we got on the online app and, you know, and checked it. And I always wondered how they froze them. So if you never had your bank accounts frozen, it's not like frozen. What they do is they put a pending charge for an insane amount of money, like $30,000 or something, like money, like way, way more money than you actually have in your account. They put a pending charge until they talk to you and they're like, hey, if you want us to release this pending charge, you owe us like $4,000 or, you know, whatever you actually owe them. And Daniel was like, why is our bank account like negative $40,000 or like whatever the amount was? And I'm like, I don't know. And so we immediately think like, okay, our bank account got hacked or something. So he calls the bank and then, you know, we had no experience with this at all. So we're like, what happened? So he calls the bank and they're like, apparently it's, you know, the comptroller or whatever, and they've put this amount, and are you familiar with this? And I'm like, oh, it's the sales tax, because I knew that I owed it. Do you know what I did? As Daniel was on the phone with the bank trying to figure out what happened, he was driving me to the tanning bed. He was on the phone. It's another one of those memories that is burned into my brain. He was on the phone. He was still on the phone with them. And we pulled up into the parking lot of the tanning salon. I just kind of motioned like, okay, bye. I'm going to go inside, while he was still on the phone. And I went inside and I went and tanned. And I remember laying in the tanning bed and thinking, huh, well, I have to figure this one out. And I just kept tanning. I just like, ugh. Just put that on the list of stupid, stupid things that happened. So then when I finally got to a point that I knew enough to realize how stupid I had been, I now have all these memories of, you know, going to the tanning bed, sitting in the McDonald's parking lot, crying on the living room floor when the electricity came out and overdrew our bank account. This other time that we were in Dallas for a concert and my sister called when she lived with us in college, and she said, the electricity's not on at the house. And I said, yeah, oh, I guess I forgot to pay the bill. We were in Dallas for a concert at a restaurant when she called. Yep, that was one of the times that got me onto the automatic payments with the electricity people. Apparently, I thought that paying electricity was optional. I don't know. But memories like that are burned into my brain. And I feel like you go through enough money-related trauma, money-related stupid, stupid decisions, and you're going to have a little bit of post-traumatic stress from that. You're going to have a little bit of thinking, why did I do that? Who was that person who did that? So my whole point in sharing these stories is, for one, maybe you get a good laugh out of them. Maybe you've done some of the same stupid things or similar, and you don't feel so alone. That's my main reason for sharing this. I feel like it's not a very common talked about form of stress, post-traumatic stress. But if you have felt this, if you are, you know, going through this anxiety, this money-related anxiety, just know that you're not alone, and know that if you are beating yourself up for stupid, stupid money decisions, money mistakes, that you're not alone. And that if I can go from doing those things, all those rolling change to buy groceries, to charging restaurants on credit cards, to going on trips where I literally had no money, to getting froze out of my bank accounts and still going tanning. If I can go from all of that to being debt-free for a year and a half, having $38,000-ish in savings, that it is possible. And yeah, a lot has changed and happened, and it didn't happen overnight. And some of the stories I'm talking about were 6 to 9 years ago, all those stories. So it isn't like this just happened overnight. And so if you're like, yeah, I feel that way now. Yeah, I rolled change to buy milk like last month. Yeah, I maxed out my credit card couple months ago. Like this just happened. And you feel like you're never going to get to debt free. You're never going to get like what is a salary almost in your savings account. If you feel like the bridge between where you are now and where you want to be is impossibly long, so long you can't even see the other end, just know that you're not alone in that feeling. And that if you feel that way, just because you feel that way doesn't mean that it can't change. Just because you have made some really bad decisions with money doesn't mean that in the future you can't make good decisions, or in the present you can't start to take control. So for me, maybe it's just, I don't know what it is in the air that has caused me to want to take this next step. I get really sentimental this time of year. My birthday being in August, my husband's birthday is in October, our anniversary is in October. So anytime between August and October, I get super sentimental. I get very just nostalgic and reminiscent and all these things. And it feels like it's my new year around this time of year. It's our new year for both of our birthdays and our anniversary. And we started dating on what is now our wedding anniversary in October. And so it's very reminiscent with our birthdays, and it's when we fell in love and, you know, all that stuff. So I start to look back at the old days, and I start to feel like it's our personal new year. And so this $200, taking this $200 from the fireproof box and putting it in the bank account feels like turning the page, feels like starting a new chapter. It feels like we are really recovering now. We are in the next season for sure. So it felt like becoming debt-free was a new chapter. And now I feel like the next chapter after that is just starting with this, finally putting the last $200 in the bank. And what's crazy to me is that $200 can feel so powerful when it's in cash. But when you see 30 some odd thousand dollars in your savings account, it kind of doesn't feel real. And it's really crazy to me that the amount of money can be so different and the power can feel so different. But anyway, the whole point in all of this is just to tell you that if you're feeling this PTSD around money, if you're feeling really like beating yourself up, that you're not alone and that the gap can be bridged. And that there is hope. So I hope that is helpful to you guys. I hope that that's encouraging. I know that a lot of you related to the post on Instagram and Facebook. And so if you hadn't seen that post, I wanted to make sure that you heard the whole story. If you did see the post, I wanted to make sure that you heard more of the story than I could fit into the characters allowed on Instagram and kind of get the full feel for the whole story. And I hope that it was helpful. You guys, don't forget that if you want to dig in more with your money, that I do have my full budgeting course, Your Sunny Money Method. It is the full, like, 30 lessons. You get all the worksheets. You get the full experience. That's why it's a paid program, because you get way more than your money's worth out of it. So if you're interested in that, if you are not a student in the course, or you want to learn more about what is included in the course, I will put the link in the show notes. But of course, you can always go to my website, asunnysideuplife.com, and you'll see all the links at the top of the page for all of my stuff. The course, the freebies, the blog, everything else is on there. I do have a lot of freebies. I also do have my new course that is called Control Your Crazy. We do touch on budgeting a little bit in that course. It's one of the 5 topics that we talk about. So if you're feeling like out of control and money is just the tip of the iceberg, Control Your Crazy might be a starting step for you. And then later you can dig more into the budgeting with the full budgeting course. But whatever is right for you now is what I want for you. So if reading the blog is right for you, if getting into one of the free courses, I have 3 free courses, you guys, plus the podcast, plus the blog. If that is right for you, then that's what I want for you. If the paid courses are your next step, you're ready to dig in more to, you know, get into what only a paid course could give you, the value of the content, that's what I want for you as well. But either way, I am so thankful that you're hanging out with me here on the podcast. Don't forget to share this episode. Don't forget to tag me on social media when you're listening. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a review if you haven't already. Gosh, I just remembered I did not go to get a review for this week. Oh, I forget sometimes. I will do a review next week. Go leave your review and I will give you a shout out as soon as possible. Yours might be next week's. So thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. It was personal. It was really hard for me to share some of it, but I know that it's going to help you guys. So I hope that it does. All right. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.